Good morning. We are so glad that you are here this morning, particularly those who are visiting with us. And we hope and pray that you'll come back this evening or come back at every opportunity that you have so that we can be together and worship God together. I'm particularly thankful for the mothers on this Happy Mother's Day and wish you a wonderful day. And also, for those who are not mothers, we are glad that you are good Christian women, and we appreciate the influence that you have on so many people. Margaret was telling me yesterday that as far as Camp Deer Run's campaign is going, they have now reached $1.6 million. I think the goal was 1.4, but they're not turning down any additional donations that anyone would want to make. So we're certainly thankful for the way people have responded to that. I was noting, I wrote it down actually, the sign out there. It said, the best sermons are lived, not preached. So that's it for today. Don't you wish? All right. You know, due to the great love that Anna M. Jarvis had for her own mother, she initially suggested the national observance of an annual day honoring all mothers. And on May the 10th, 1908, at a memorial service for her mother, Miss Jarvis gave a coronation to each person who attended. Of course, a coronation was her mother's favorite flower. On May the 9th, 1914, by an act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. He said that Mother's Day is a time for public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. And I think certainly that it was a wonderful idea, and we know that Jesus even had great honor for his own mother, and certainly we should have honor, give honor to those who are mothers as well. Sometime back, I read a prayer for mothers. I wanted to share this with you. I thought it would be appropriate for this special occasion. Our Father in heaven, the one in whom we live and move and have our being, we thank thee for mothers, the makers of humanity, the torchbearers of life, and the foundation of civilization. We are grateful for our own dear mothers who bore us in travail and loved us all the more the pain we brought, who suffered for us in body, mind, and soul, who gave us a confident security by their tireless sacrifices and undying devotion, for the agony with which they watched over us in sickness and nursed us back to health, for the sorrow that pierced their hearts when we were foolish, for the smiles of appreciation and joy that played across their faces when we achieve some little accomplishment, for the thousand little tasks they perform daily to make life better for us. O God of our being, we implore thee to grant support, patience, and courage to deserving mothers, that they may not break under their heavy burdens in life's most strenuous task. As each day dawns, may faith undimmed and optimism unclouded shine anew in their deserving hearts. And for us, we pray, our Father, that the hallowed memories of such illustrious mothers may inspire us to nobler living and lift us to higher ground. May we live the praises due them. In Christ's name, amen. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? In John chapter 19, beginning in verse 23, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture. They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own household. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, said, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. I'm also thankful to Ross for turning on the air conditioner. You know, mothers have high hopes for their children. Listen to what the angel said to Mary when he announced that she was to be the mother of the Son of God. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. You can only imagine how Mary felt about that. Certainly she was very concerned about how all this was going to happen, but very thrilled that she had been chosen to be the mother of the Son of God. Although Jesus was the only perfect child ever born, most mothers believe that their children will be the greatest. And during the 9 months in which she carries her child in her womb, she envisions the exceptional qualities which her precious child will possess. Now, there will be nothing ordinary or average about a mother's child. He or she will be prettier, more handsome, smarter, walk sooner, and act more angelic than any other child which has ever been born. And if you don't believe this, just ask the baby's grandparents or great-grandparents, and they will confirm this as fact. You know, I believe that every child deserves parents and grandparents who believe that he or she is the greatest kid ever born. But not every child has that blessing. Every child, I think, also deserves parents and grandparents who love him or her enough to train them in godly ways and to have the courage to say no when it is needed. One mother said, "Before I had kids, I had 6 foolproof theories about raising children. Now I have 6 children and no foolproof theories." There was a young boy who was on his front porch and he was crying. And there was an elderly man who was his neighbor who saw him. And he went over to the boy and asked him what was wrong. And the boy said, "Well, my mom has lost her psychology book and is winging it now by using her own common sense." I think mothers always need to maintain high hopes for their children, and yet not raise undisciplined and obnoxious children by keeping their heads in a cloud and assuming that their children can make no mistakes. Every child will make mistakes, even as you and I make mistakes. And we need to recognize that. And we need to help them grow through those mistakes. But mothers' treasures are their children. Jesus' parents were very concerned about him when they inadvertently left their 12-year-old son in Jerusalem. And according to Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 48, when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Isn't that just like a mother? Mary may not have comprehended what Jesus had done or said, but she treasured every word and every deed in her heart. And she would have a lot of treasures in her heart, even as all mothers have treasures in their hearts as well. If you want to know something about a child, who do you ask? Well, usually it's mom. The mother or the father, well, the mother remembers everything. The exact weight, the exact length, the first word, the first step, every illness, the first day at school, and on the list goes. Mothers treasure every hug, every kind and encouraging word, every card, every gift, every phone call. And when you get a group of mothers together, their conversation will inevitably become centered around their children. A childless woman once told a young mother, "Well, your children will be such a comfort to you in your old age." And the fatigued and nerve-tattered mother of toddlers replied, "Well, I'm sure that one day this will be true. But children also help you to reach old age much faster." Mothers treasure your children every day. because they're soon grown, and you will need them more than they need you. You know, mothers always seem to be there when you need them. In the text that we read earlier, who was present at the crucifixion of Jesus? The list included several women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. And the death which Jesus suffered was reserved for the vilest of criminals. But Jesus' mother was there. She was suffering with him until the very end. And she was also at the tomb, hoping against hope, at least in her mind, that he had been resurrected from the dead. Little did she know that he had been. You know, I can't imagine how difficult it must be to outlive your children. And yet some of you have done that. Especially if you witness their suffering and their death. But mothers are the ones who can soothe the pains and make the joys even brighter. Mothers are there when you're in trouble, when you get married, although no one is good enough for you, when you have children, when you're sick, when you need help, when you need moral support. And when they are not present, they're sorely missed. Several years ago, I ran across this poem, and I wanted to share it with you today. To me, it's one of the most meaningful poems I think I've ever read. They crucified my son, my only son. They nailed him to a cross high on a hill called Golgotha, and there they let him die. They mocked at him. And when in anguish he cried out, they laughed at him, and so he died. Then suddenly there came upon the earth a darkness as of deepest, blackest night. The earth quaked, and the graves of men long dead were opened wide, and lo, the dead came forth. The lightning flashed and mighty rocks were crushed. The holy temple veil was rent in twain. They crucified my son. I saw him die. And that same day, two other men died also. Tortured, crucified, as was my son. But I can't recall their names. Oh, yes, the middle one. I think they called him Jesus. We think about Mary, and rightfully so. But before I read that poem, I'd never thought about the mothers of the other two men. But they undoubtedly had mothers who were very sorrowful at their sons' deaths, even though they may have deserved to die. Abraham Lincoln said, "No one is poor who has a godly mother." And Henry Ward Beecher said, "God pardons like a mother who kisses the offenses in their everlasting forgetfulness." But most importantly, God says in Proverbs chapter 31, "An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And I think it is only rightful that on a day such as today, that we praise godly women. We're thankful for the women who raised us. We're thankful to our wives for raising our children. We're thankful for all of the Christian women who live godly lives to draw others to Jesus Christ. Thank you again. If there's anyone this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus, we hope that you will take this opportunity now to do that. If you need to be baptized into Christ, we'll certainly do that on this occasion. What a wonderful day this would be for that. If you need the prayers of this church for any reason, we certainly will want to pray for you and encourage you in any way that we can. Won't you come while we stand and sing?
All to Jesus I